I don't know exactly how to start the sermon this morning, except for by saying, if you know my family at all, you know that we tell stories a lot. Anytime our family gets together, stories are going to happen. And it might be funny stories, it might be serious stories, but we tell stories. And I was talking with my uncle, not this last time he was up, but the time before that, so 2 years ago now, about the importance of telling stories. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Hopefully this is something you've thought about. If not, then maybe it will give you some things to think about. But why do we tell stories? Like I said, there's some stories that are told just for the entertainment. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, of course, we're not going to talk about entertainment. That's not the point. The 3 points, I'll go ahead and give away my sermon right now. The 3 points that stories give us is they teach us. They inspire us. And they give us identity. And we're going to talk about that in a spiritual perspective. Okay. If you haven't thought about it, how are some of the ways that in the Bible stories are used to teach? One that we're going to look at is, we're actually going to look at two, but go ahead and turn to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew 13, I'm sure most of us know this, but it's the parable, it starts out with the parable of the sower. So we'll be reading Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on the good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Now, I think we all understand quite clearly, this is not a story meant to teach about planting vegetables. What is the point of this story? Well, they ask him that. Starting again in verse 10. Then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing that they did not see, and hearing that they do not hear, nor do they understand, indeed in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. And he goes on and on and explains even deeper. So what are some of the stories in the Bible that teach us? Probably there's some stories that when I asked that question, each one of us thought of a different story. There's so many. We're going to look at another parable, and that's in Luke, the 15th chapter. There's actually a few stories in this chapter, but we're going to look at one. Luke 15. And we're going to look at the story of the prodigal son. We're not going to read the whole thing for time's sake. But I'm going to assume that you already know this story. And one of the things that always comes back to me about the story of the prodigal son, and maybe you felt this way. Sometimes, you know, when you hit rock bottom in life, whether, you know, I'm thinking more spiritually, but in whatever way, there's always a way out. And especially with God, he's always willing to forgive us. That's why we tell these stories. And that's why Jesus told these stories. Okay, so stories teach us. Let's look at some ways that stories inspire. Let's look at first Acts chapter 7. I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. Turn to Hebrews 11 first. Hebrews 11. Most people think about this as the Hall of Fame of Faith or other such titles like that. But I want us to look at just the end part of Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 35. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so they might rise to a better life. Others suffered mocking, flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Now you look at the stories of the Bible. Growing up as a kid, my two favorite were Joshua and David. There's many lessons and inspirational things about Joshua and David. Think about Joshua, a fairly young man. He has to fill Moses' shoes. That's a hard task. He has to lead the Israelites. That's a hard task. Moses, you see, had many problems doing that. And he has to go into a land and take a land that, while promised, is going to be difficult. And they know that. But he does it. And that's the thing I want us to think about when we read these stories. Do we think about, no matter what I'm dealing with, Joshua did it. Moses did what he was supposed to do. Perfectly? No. Of course not. They're human beings just like we are. But they did it. No matter what we're dealing with, we can do it too. Think about some of the things mentioned in the section that happened to people throughout the Bible. Think about what happened to some of the prophets. Certainly the Christians in the first century. Think about them being stoned, mistreated, sawn in two. I can't think of many things more horrific than that. I think sometimes life gets us down. But it's not that bad. We're not being sawn in two. We're not being stoned. So sometimes I think we need to stop looking at ourselves, look at, hey, these people can do this. They got through it, so I can get through whatever I'm dealing with. Okay, let's also look at Stephen in Acts chapter 7. You think about Stephen. What do we know about him? Honestly, we don't know much. We don't know much at all of his background. All we know is that he was chosen to be one of the deacons, administering to the widows. But we know he was a preacher to some degree. And we also know the Sanhedrin had problems with that. So look at what he does. We're not going to read his entire speech. I encourage you to do that on his own time, but on your own time. But look at chapter 7, just starting out in verse 1. He's already had some conversation with the high priest. So it starts out, and the high priest said, "Are these things so?" And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran and said to him, 'Go out from your land and from your kindred and go into the land that I will show you.' Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from there into the land in which you now are living. Yet he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot's length, but promised to give it to him as a possession and to his offspring to him, though he had no child." Okay, what is he doing? Part of Stephen's defense, if you can call this a trial, is pointing out, you know your history. And through his entire really sermon that he gives to the council. He's going to point out all of his points from the Israelites' history. The Sanhedrin should have known. Okay. So, how are some other ways that stories inspire us? I think the ultimate story that we need to look at, and we already have talked about previous to me talking, is the story of Christ. Why do we tell the same story every week? Every week. The story doesn't change, in case you haven't figured that out. It's the same story. Because we're told to tell that story. We're told to remember. And that's what stories do. They help us remember sacrifices. That's what a memorial is. And they help us remember who we are. And that's an identity. We need to have that identity. So, I want us to look at, we're going to look at a few things. We already looked at chapter 7 of Acts. How many times are the Israelites reminded about their fathers? I didn't get an exact number. It depends on your translation of how many times that phrase is used throughout the Bible. And it's many. You know, or then it talks about they followed, talking about kings, either followed in the footsteps of their father David, if they were good, or followed in the footsteps of Jeroboam, normally, if they were bad. I think that's something we need to think about. Think about the Christians in the first century. Think about maybe our own relatives, the examples that they have given to us, if we're blessed to have good examples from our relatives. But let's look at Joshua 24. We already kind of talked about Joshua. This is after the land's been taken. This is very near the end of Joshua's life. And I apologize, this is going to be a bit of a lengthy reading, but I hope you'll bear with me. Excuse me. In Joshua 24, he calls together all the people, and he's going to tell them something. He's going to make some very important points that we need to think about. So starting in verse 1, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led them through the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it, and afterwards I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and cover them, and your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land. I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. And he sent and invited Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you, but I would not listen to Balaam. Indeed, he blessed you, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the leaders of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and the Jebusites, and I gave them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you, the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant." Now here's the climax of the story. "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes, serve the Lord. Choose this day who you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did these great things in our sight and preserved us. You know, that's a pretty amazing thing. It's pretty amazing that he points out the bad things. He points out that their fathers served other gods. He points out some times of weakness when they were at the river and they were afraid that they were going to be destroyed. They didn't have much faith. But he points out what God did to them. And sometimes we need to point that out to ourselves. What has God done for you? Excuse me. Something I think we also need to realize, this is a story. True story, yes. Please don't get me wrong. But it's a story. And if we wear the name of Christ, it's our story. When we talk about Stephen being persecuted, do we think about him as just a character? Or do we think about him as one of our brothers, one of our brethren? You know, a fellow Christian. I think a lot of times we don't do that. So, what does this mean for us? We've already talked about how stories can teach us, how they can inspire us, and how they give us an identity. It means that we need to keep telling them. Remember in Deuteronomy about the law, what does God tell the children of Israel to do? Teach them to your children when you lie down, when you rise up, when you're on the way. Pretty much all day. Tell them. So we need to be talking about this. We need to be reminded of who we were, who we are, and what God is doing for us. I know the sermon's been shorter than normal. That was intentional. But I want us to think about this as we close. We're going to have an invitation song here in a minute. We're still writing this story. You think about every character in the Bible. They didn't necessarily know what was going to happen. We don't either. But how are future generations going to look at what we've done? Are they going to look at it and look at our examples and be like, that was how to do it. They did it right. Or are they going to look at how the Jews probably had to look at their fathers and say, they did it wrong. They didn't follow God. That's a choice that we have to think about. And we have to do it day in and day out. And we have to choose, what is our story? What is our legacy going to be? If you're not a Christian, then this isn't your story. You know what the stories are. We've already talked about them. But if you're not wearing the name of Christ, then his plan for salvation, that's not your story. You can make it your story today. You can be part of that today. If you'd like to do that, or if you need the prayers of the brethren, let us know as we sing the song together.